coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, we're hearing.
This is the continuation of the message, How to Take Possession of What Belongs to You.
Hallelujah. He's confident of that. He's assured of that knowledge. And then they go to the next one. He's coming again. I know he's coming again. That's the future. They'll stake their lives on that. Jesus will surely come back. All right. Between the past and the future is the present. So what is he doing now? What about today? What does Jesus mean to me today? Glory to God. See, our communication locates us. Praise the Lord. Our communication locates us. You know, what was in the past and then in the future, and we live out today. Now, here's another thought. That may not be so much problem for many of you here, really. But here's another thought. How simply we can be affected by semantics. Okay, a lot of times we say, the glory of God is upon us, all right? The glory of the Lord is upon me. The glory of the Lord is upon you. And so we are carried away by that thought where we try to imagine that the glory of God surrounds us, and with the hope that there's some light that's somebody sees, or something sees, or maybe spirits see, or whatever it is. So we are surrounded by this glory upon us. Okay? And because we do not see that glory, we are tempted to think it might not be real after all. Are you still there? Okay, the glory of God is upon me. What does that mean? These are spiritual terminologies. When you say the glory of God is upon you, what do you mean? What are you saying? We might all mean different things when we say that. And what we mean is actually all we get. That's all you get. You can't get more than what you mean. You can't get more than what you know. So when you say the glory of God is upon me, what do you mean? The glory of God is upon you. Is upon. Do you mean on your head? Don't look at me like that now. When you say, how many of you ever said the glory of God was upon you? Yeah. We even have a song we sing like that. Okay. So, the glory of God you say is upon you. What do you mean that the glory of God is upon you? Where is it? And we even do like this. So it's upon my head. Is the glory of God on your head? Talk to me. The glory of God is only upon you as to say he's bestowed his grace upon your life. But if you're talking about the excellencies, the perfections, the virtues of God, they are not on your head. They are in your spirit. So the glory of God is actually in your spirit. The glory of God is in your spirit. The glory of God refers to his beauties, his excellencies, his perfections, his virtues. These are in your spirit. Can you believe this? Can you accept this? If you can accept this, you'll be amazed how it'll work for you. It's working for many already. Say this: I don't believe in failure.
I don't believe in failure.
Is anybody here, you believe in failure? If you believe in failure, you're in the wrong place, because we will make you succeed, and that may be against what you believe. Are you hearing me? If you don't want to be a success in life, you better not come here. Don't stay here for too long, because we will make you succeed, and that may be trouble for you. Sure. Yeah. You can't listen to this for long enough without it transforming and transfiguring your life. It's not possible. No. It's not possible. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It'll rub off on you. Hallelujah. Sure. You'd be a success even if you shut your eyes. Sure. Just keep listening. Sooner or later, it'll change your talk. And something about the life of faith. Did you notice that definition of faith? The confident assurance that what we hope for is there. Did you hear that? It says giving substance to what we hope for. So faith is calling real what you haven't seen as of yet. You give it substance. You act as though it is there. And that's why others think you're stupid. Because you're acting as though something that they can't see is there. But that's what faith is all about. That's what faith is. Faith is not believing. Faith and believing are two different things. The Bible says demons believe, and they so believe that they tremble. Are you hearing me? So you can believe. It's like, look at this. Faith, you got to give substance to your faith. In other words, you've got to voice your faith. That's where it begins. And you got to act your faith. You see, you voice your faith, you act your faith. Because if you can't voice your faith, you cannot act your faith. Your life will go in the way of your mouth. All right. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 10 for a moment. You there? Romans chapter 10. Have you seen it? Glory to God. You see, faith is a law. Faith is a law. The Bible says that the law of Moses was given as the schoolmaster And that's Old King James translation. It actually means school guide. It doesn't mean the school teacher. It means a school guide, meaning one who took the children to school, not one who actually taught the children. Okay? It was a school guide. So, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. All right? Talking about those who were under the law. Then he says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now that faith has come. Now, the kind of faith that is given to us, communicated to us in the New Testament, is different from the kind of faith that was back in the Old Testament. Now you say, what's the difference? Oh, very simple. The faith in the Old Testament was more of what you call trust. It was trust. And that's why trust is synonymous with faith. Trust. They trusted God. They trusted His character. They trusted what He said. And followed what He said. Trust. So Abraham's called a father of faith because he trusted God. He trusted God's character. He trusted God's declarations, God's word. He trusted. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He trusted. Over in the New Testament, the difference is faith is not the version of trust that you have in the Old Testament. It is a law of what we call the mirror principle. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me, and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.